I hope everybody's fired up after such a wonderful introduction. I had to say something. All right. I figured I'd wake up. It's really a smokescreen. I don't have too much what to talk about. Gong. One last one. All right. I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with this week. We had a celebration. Bagels on the second day. We were hoping to have on the first day. That wasn't worked out. But the month of Adar has started. There's a very famous Gemara. The Gemara tells us, we all know the second part of the Gemara. Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. The whole thing is, the Gemara doesn't exactly say it like that. The Gemara says, Kishem, just like Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha, when the month of Av comes, we diminish our Simcha. So too also, when Adar comes, we are Marbin B'Simcha. Now, seemingly that Chazal is anticlimaxal. You know, if you're getting all excited about Adar, why do we have to think about Av? Why do we have to think about the day of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, a depressing thing, a thought? What is the idea behind the Kishem? Shenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. Kishem Shenichnas Av Amatim B'Simcha. Kach So Tuk Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. That's one question. I know that Rabbi Nyman, a very, very loyal, dedicated fan of a camp that I'm familiar with. It's called Camp Marabu. And he always reminds me that in every occasion that I have the ability to speak about camp, I do. So I wouldn't want to disappoint him. And therefore, I again will mention something about Camp Marabu. And I want to throw out a particular question regarding it, and I know I've shared even this story, and I try not to say the same stories over twice, but I want to bring out a certain point, and therefore I beg your indulgence that I will share with you a certain event that occurred in camp, which is perhaps relevant to this week's Parsha as well. 2 years ago, I'm going to be very short, because I know that I've shared this story with you, and we have other stories to get to, and some chazals as well. 2 years ago, we were in Bryce Canyon. Bryce Canyon happens to be one of the most beautiful places to be, and I hope if you do not go with camp, you go on a honeymoon or you go with your parents, sometime in the future you should go to Bryce Canyon and make a brach over there of Eisa Masa Bereshis. It is from the most beautiful places in the world, and yes, Dov has his landmark over there. There are various mountains that has the DNA of Dov splattered all over it. But regardless, that's some of the reasons why it has that red-orange tinge color. If you want to know a beer for that, that's a different schmooze. But regardless, we were at Bryce Canyon, and in the early morning, I woke up, and there standing outside, not far from my room where I had slept, or tried to sleep, was a couple that were getting their ATVs. Is that what they called, ATVs? Right, MTVs, ATVs, I don't know, MTV, ATV, I'm not sure. Right, they were getting the ATVs ready to go on their wonderful journey. And I asked them how the day was. We started schmoozing. To make a very long story short, they told me that they were Mormons. And then we had a little discussion about religion. We were about to leave the hotel, and I was schlepping the cooler that we have where some of our food is located. And I bumped into this Mormon again after having our short discussion prior to davening. And now it was about 9 o'clock and we were leaving already from the hotel. And this fella asks me, he says, Rabbi, I want to ask you a question. And I always get worried, you know, what's going to be this question? And I have to leave and I would like to give a proper response. But when I'm pressed for time, not always does that come across. So he asked me the following. He says, Rabbi, tell me the truth. Do you keep, over here, in Bryce Canyon, do you keep kosher? See, I happen to be in Israel. He spent 6-7 months in Israel, and he knows about kosher. He knows about non-kosher. He says, in Bryce, in Utah, do you or don't you observe the laws of kosher? And I told him, 100% that we do. So he, like, mocked and he laughed. He said, how is it possible to keep kosher over here? He says, I know that they have steels, you know, they have bulls, they have kosher animals over here, but you have to sacrifice them, and then you have to salt them, and you need a proper rabbi blessing the cow before and after it dies. How do you do that here? So I told him, I opened up the cooler, and I showed him a little OU on some of the products that we have, and I explained to him that we purchase a lot of vegetables, fruits and vegetables, which we are permitted to eat even without a blessing from a rabbi, etc. And then he said to me a most remarkable comment. He said to me, Rabbi, you have to realize this is from a Mormon, this is not from a Talmud of our Sameach, right, or a recent Baal Tshuva, or whatever it might be. He says to me the following, he says, Rabbi, I always wondered why they call you the chosen people. Now I see, and I was perplexed, I didn't know what was he getting at. He says, I see that even here in Utah, and wherever you go, you carry your Torah with you. And I try to internalize that message, that tremendous Kiddush Hashem that we made. Yes, here in Utah, this Mormon recognized that we are the Ama Nivchar, because wherever we go, we carry our Torah with us. And then I went on the bus, and I told some of the campers the event that occurred. And then I shared with them Rav Sham Shrafal Hirsch from this week's Parsha. Rav Sham Shrafal Hirsch in Parsha's Truma makes mention of the Badim which traveled together with the Oren. And he makes the following observation. He asks, why is it that the Badim, there's a law in the Torah, there's a prohibition in the Torah, lo yosu, we're not permitted to remove the Badim from the Oren. The Badim, when they were inside the Oren, traveling with the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, we could understand the Badim and the Aron have to go together. But once the Beis HaMikdash was built, and the Aron would stay in one place for almost 400 years, why can't we take the Badim out? The Aron is not moving. The Aron almost never moved from the time Shlomo HaMelech placed inside the Beis HaMikdash to a few years before the Churban when the Aron was buried. Why can't you take the Badim out? So listen to what Rav Sham Shrafal Hirsch says. Rav Sham Shrafal Hirsch explains in a symbolic gesture, and he says the following. He says that the Badim represent travels, because that's what the Badim were, was used to carry the Aron. And a Yid has to realize, a Jew has to realize that wherever he goes, the Torah travels together with him. It's not just located inside of the vault of the Aron HaKodesh, or inside the Aron, which was had the Luchais, had a Sefer Torah inside of it. But rather, wherever a Yid goes, wherever a Jew travels, the representation of the Badim, lo yosur, do not separate the Torah from the travels. And that was conveyed to us, lahavdol, from this Mormon. I think there's something else that we perhaps could take from the message of the Badim. And I would like to share it with you from an event that occurred this week, but it's not just this week. It's something that we all go through. It's not just one boy. It's not just three boys. We all go through it. Men, women, adults, youngsters. And that is, I walked into a share room this week. I'm not going to say the exact quote, but this young man said, life is lousy. Okay, that was Belosh and Nikia. That was the way he said it. And you could use your imagination, or maybe you shouldn't use your imagination, of the exact quote. Right? Life is lousy. And many of you already have heard from me, when I hear someone complain about life, my response is, life is lousy? Your kidneys are working? Your heart is working? Your brain is functioning? You have clothing on your back? Life is lousy? That's not life that's lousy. You want to know life that's lousy? Take one day a walk inside the intensive care unit, inside some of the neighboring hospitals. Go down to Sedora, which I happen to be in that area, and see bombed out homes. See some of the children from Gush Katif whose fathers are out of jobs for 2.5 years, and they're struggling literally to put bread on the table. I'm not saying that they do say life is lousy, because many have such an upbeat a sense of emunah and betochen, but they understand that life is life. For a small little bump along the way, life doesn't suddenly become lousy. And one of the things that perhaps we have to learn from the Aron, the travels of the Aron, the travels of the Bnei Yisrael, is how to deal with the bumps of life. And that's what I want to share with you, and then get back to the Kishem Shenichnis La'av, Mamatim b'simcha, kach sh'niknes ador, marbim b'simcha. We know, at least we've learned this year, the halachas pertaining to Hilchas Brachas. We know that Hashem has many, many names. In fact, at least the halacha, the Rambam says there are seven key names of Hashem, which are included inside the third of the Saras Adibris of Zalaisis Hashem Lekecha Lashav. Yet the Gemara does tell us there's another name, and it's not only in the Gemara, of course. Svar Makdashim tells us there's another name that is a very, very powerful name. It's such a powerful name that we do not explicitly say it, but it is hinted in various places, even inside of our Siddur. And that is the name of Membeis. There's a name of Hashem, whatever that is, of Membeis. There are 42 letters in the Shem Hashem. And that we say every Friday night, Leil Shabbos. For those that come to Shul before L'chadaydi, they will know that we say Anah B'Kayach, Gedula Simin Chatat Etzura. I'm not going to go through the whole Anah B'Kayach, but the Rashi Tevis, it's 42 words, and the Rashi Tevis, the beginning letters of that stanza, spells out the 42-letter name of Hashem. What is the use? What is the meaning of this 42-letter name of Hashem? So I want to share with you, Rabbi Isai, something which is found inside of Pashas Masai. In Pashas Masai, we find that Klal Yisrael traveled 42 Masais. 42 travels, the Bnei Yisrael traveled through the Midbar. Now, I don't know about you, but I still remember my Bar Mitzvah. And one of the things I prayed for, before I found out that my Bar Mitzvah Pasha was Pashas Kisetze, which my father always comes back to haunt me on, I'm not going to go through why, but there are certain mitzvahs that he always connected me to in Pashas Kisetze. But regardless, one thing I did not want, Pashas Matis Masai. Matis Masai, does anyone over here have a mitzvah Pasha? It's a big one, Dov, right? It's the Grand Canyon of the Pashas there. Matis Masai, it just goes on and on and on and on. In the Pashas Nosai, in the single Pashas, Pashas Mat, oh, there you go, Nosai, okay? All right, in the single Pashas, but in the double Pashas, Matis Masai takes the cake. And you know, just like Pashas Nosai, they have the famous question, we could have shortened all the 12 Nasim into one Pasuk, basically, or at least say one Nasi, and then say V'chein Osu, and mention all the names in the Nasim, and the Ramban and other Rishayim Isk, and deal with that. Then Pashas Masai, you have the same question. Why does the Torah have to tell us all the travels of the Bnei Yisrael? Is it so important for us to know we're in the desert? Okay, they stopped over here in Chashmona. They went to a place, Kiris HaTaiva. They went to a place, Rafidim. They went to Olish. Why all the places so important? So Chazal wrestled with it. And they wrestled with the number 42. Because there were 42 Masois. And right away Chazal make a connection between the Masois and the name of Hashem, the 42-letter name of Hashem. And I want to share with you a little piece from the Brit Tzadik from Reb Tzadik, which is quoted in the Sefer Mamakim. And listen to what he says. He says, V'yodua, I guess some people know, but V'yodua, it is known, the Membeis Masois Umekaymes Hacheniya Heim Neged Shem Membeis. The 42 travels that the Bnei Yisrael traveled inside of the Midbar are parallel or somehow or another connected to the name of Hashem, which is the Shem Membeis. V'chol ois hu madrega b'fnei atzmai. Every single letter inside Hashem's name of the 42 is a different madrega. Every place that the Bnei Yisrael traveled inside of the Midbar was another madrega for the Bnei Yisrael either to grow or to slide. Ubein madrega la madrega yeshmasa shahoylech v'noseya lagia la isa madrega. In order to reach that madrega, there's a travel. The word madrega itself means steps. A person has to walk. A person has to go from A to B. Every single place that Klal Yisrael traveled was a different nesoyin for Klal Yisrael. And he says Reb Tzadik, v'zeh kol ha'odom kol yimei chayov. That is what the secret or the story or the meaning of life. Life is full of travels. Life is full of challenges. There are times when things are going great, and there are times, le'aleinu, when things are difficult. B'mei umayso b'matzev shaltilda V'achono lavoy l'shabbos shemish le'tarach be'av shabbos ma'yoychel b'shabbos. Reb Tzadik uses the famous lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that if a person wants to have a Shabbos, a person wants to have a menucha, so he can have a shmooze. That's one way he can have a menucha. But if a person wants to have a menucha of something which is for forever, for eternity, then a person has to prepare for that. The preparation of those masois, the preparation of those travels that a person faces, the challenges along the way. Let's see some of the places that Klal Yisrael went to and see how we could perhaps relate to those places as our, as the Tzaddik says, our travels in life. Well, they came to a place. Sometimes they were in a place that was called Sukkos. Sukkos, completely covered, feeling comfort in life. But yet at some times, they're in a state of Biktzei HaMidbar. Sometimes we feel very alone, despondent. Nobody to turn to. Nobody there to help us. No shoulder to lean on. Sometimes we feel, V'yachnu, the Pasuk says over here, Lefnei Migdol. They came to a place called Migdol. Sometimes we feel very great. We feel very accomplished. Somebody is going to receive the Valgatorian or Torah award, whatever it might be, or somebody wins a certain lottery. We get very excited. It's Migdol. And yet there are times, Vayachanu b'mara. There are times that we get depressed. There are times that in life it is difficult because someone has an illness, le'aleinu. Someone had a difficulty with a family member, with a spouse, with a teacher, whatever it might be, or a fellow friend. It creates mara. It creates bitterness. There are times that we come to a place, Elim, what happened in Elim? There was Shnei Mesra and Ismayim. There was an abundance. There was a bounty, a tremendous amount of water, happiness, joy. And then at the same time, there's a place that they come to, which is Refidim, which is lacking. Klal Yisrael was lacking. And so too, Rabbi Sayyid's in life. Life is not always full of roses and great, great things that happen. Life is full of struggle, sometimes great moments, and sometimes downers. What we have to do, and that's the message of a Kishem Shenichlis La'av, Kishem Shenichlis La'adar, the Kishem, the shearing. When we have great moments that we experience, we were dancing together on Wednesday, a great sense of joy that we have. Okay, we were missing class. That was also great. Then some of us received some guidelines. That was also great. But it's a time of Simcha Adar. We have to hold on to that Simcha. You have to hold on to that Simcha and put it in your pocket. And lo yaleinu, when the next day you walk into school and you don't do so well on a test or somebody is mara to you, bring out that Simcha. Life does not, use that terminology. Life is not terrible. Life is not, yesterday you were dancing. Yesterday you enjoyed it. Take some of that enjoyment. And today there's a struggle. Okay, that's today's challenge. Yesterday was happiness. Today it's a struggle of creating the happiness or making the best of the moment. That's what life is all about. That's the badim. The badim ola yosem ha'orin. The badim never leave the orin. As Rabbi Teitelbaum spoke so beautifully last week, a person has to know what the main is. Person has to know what the focal point of you in life is. And that is the Oren. That's the Ben Taira Chelik. And inside the Ben Taira Chelik, Rabbi said, there's going to be many different colors. There can be sometimes it's going to be difficult, but don't quit because it's difficult. Klal Yisrael traveled those 42 travels. They picked themselves up and they knew that tomorrow would be a better day, hopefully. And if it wasn't, then make the best of today because maybe tomorrow would be a better day. That's how we travel through life. There's a beautiful Meshech Chachma, Rabbi Isai. Tomorrow when you put on your tefillin, not tomorrow, Sunday when you put on your tefillin, think about this Meshech Chachma. Because it's not just Rav Tzadik that says this Yisai about the Shem Membeis. In your tefillin Shayad, there are 21 times it says the Shem Hashem. And do you know how many times it says in your tefillin Shoraish? Does anybody know? Hopefully 21, because you have this exact same pashas and you're Tefillin Shayad, Tefillin Shoraish. Right? All right, so you have 21 times the Shem Havayah in the Tefillin Shayad, and you have 21 times the Shem Havayah in the Tefillin Shoraish. 21 times 21 plus 21 is 42. Says the Meshech Chachma, we wear the Shem Membeis with us. But what's the message? What's the message of wearing the tefillin shel yad and wearing the tefillin shel roish? There's a halacha that calls man, anytime that you have the tefillin shel roish ben enacha, or you have it between your eyes, you have to have your tefillin shel yad on your hands. Your tefillin shel yad you put on first, your tefillin shel roish you take off first. You always have the tefillin shel yad. Listen to this Meshech Chachma, Rabbi. I say, Max, pick your head up, please. Listen to the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma says, Rabbi, say, the tefillin shel roish represent when things are going great. The goyim, everybody's fearing you. Klai Yisrael's walking on a high. It's Elim. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's Kabbalah Satira. It's a place called Sinai. Kol ameyotz kishem Hashem nikra alecha. That's one time of life. It's the chasana. It's the time of joy. It's the Adar. But then there's a time that we're covered over. The boy said, you know, your tefillin shayad always has to be covered. That's why they have that little box they put it on it. And if you take your box off, you should cover it with your shirt. Not the ritzua, but the bias, or cover it with a jacket, whatever. The tefillin shayad is always with you. What is that representing? That represents when it's difficult, when you're down and under and covered, and it's difficult to manage through. We have both states in life. We are traveling through life. See if we can make our life as positive as the Chedush HaRim. Let me tell you what the Chedush HaRim, who he was a little bit, Rabbi Say. Do you know, Chedush HaRim's name was not originally, does anyone know his last name? Anybody know his last name? The Chedush HaRim, all the Geras, his last name was Alta. Okay, that all the Geras are Altas. All right? Alta, does anyone know what the word Alta means? Not an Alta Kaka, but Alta? Alta means like to live long, right? To be long, extended. All right, it's Alta. His original name was Rosenbaum, a nice good Jewish name. Rosenbaum? Garrett? I'm not sure. All right, but he had a nice good Jewish name. He changed his name to Alta. And in the books it writes over there a number of reasons why he changed his name. But let me tell you what type of tefillin shel yad the Chedush HaRim wore. The Chedush HaRim had 13 children. All right, someone said, Rebbe, wow, that's so much. I don't know how he dealt with it. I don't know how his wife dealt with it. It's the worst thing possible. Okay, but there's some people love children. All right? And there's also mitzvah inside the Torah. We all know that mitzvah. We'll get excited about that mitzvah. All right? 13 children. Rabbi Sai, every one of his 13 children died. Except for one that lived to 19, who had a child who grew up eventually to be the Svas Emes. The Chedush HaRim understood if to every single child he wasn't going to quit. He'll go to that Levaya. He's wearing the Tefillin Shel Yad. But you know what? He knows there's a Tefillin Shel Reish as well. He's able to make from a negative or even a state of being negative to find something that is positive. The biggest Chasidus today inside the world, at least in Eretz Yisrael, is the Ger Chasidim. One man, a man who lost 13 children, raised his grandson, the Svas Emes, who eventually, Nisim and Aflois, eventually was able to replant the seeds of Ger in America, but much more in Eretz Yisrael, which has the biggest Chasidus in Eretz Yisrael. How did he do that? He did that because he understood life is full of very difficult punches. Sometimes there can be great, great moments in the Membeis Masois, and sometimes there are going to be challenges which are going to be hard to face. He faced them. Let me share with you a Peladik Chazal, Rabbi Say. And I'm sure some of us over here would ask this question right away. Probably the biggest, or from the biggest, the top 10. You know, in the old days, I don't know if they still have it, but they used to have a show on that box, right? It was called the 10 Most Wanted. Either it was called the FBI, or it was called the 10 Most Wanted. I don't remember which one it was. And as a youngster, I used to try to watch the ending because they always used to have a picture of the criminals, and they would say there would be like a $5,000 or $10,000 reward of anyone leading to this person's arrest. And I would always try, hopefully, that maybe I'm going to find the fella and get $10,000. It never happened. Anyway, but regardless, on the top 10 list of Rishoyim for the Jewish people, there's a man, his name was Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, the Chazal, he has two names. If you look inside the Navi, does anyone know his other name? He had a nickname. He was called Nebuchad Retzah. Sometimes it's Nebuchad Retzah, sometimes it's Nebuchad Netzah. You learn it, ah, but it looks like it's a printing mistake. No, it wasn't a printing mistake. Chazal say originally his name was Nebuchad Netzah. Nebuchadnezzar started off as a person that Chazal used a lashon of hagoyim. He was a proper person, right? And then eventually, from the word Netzah to sprout, and then he became, the Chacham started calling Nebuchad Retzah. After he became a Rosh Merusha, he was Tzoyrer, he caused tremendous suffering to the Jewish people. They changed his name to Nebuchad Retzah. Regardless, Chazal tells us something very unique about this man called Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar used to say songs. You know, I don't know if he was Billy Joel and he went to the White House. I don't know if he said those kind of songs. But Lamaisa, he went ahead and he put together beautiful shirois to Hashem. To such an extent, Chazal say that he was ready to say shir that was greater than David HaMelech. Bo Malach, a Malach came, slapped him in the face. Please sit up, Ziki. All right. Slapped him in the face by his lips. And he couldn't say the shir. That's what Chazal tells us. So I know over here some of the critics right, say, Rebbe, where's the Bechira? Where's the free choice? How could you go ahead and the Malach slap in the face? If he's going to be as great as David HaMelech, let him be as great as David HaMelech. You know who asked that question? The Kotzke Rebbe asked that question. So not only some of the critics here, but the great Kotzke asked the question. You know what the Kotzke says, Rabbi Isai? Hashem doesn't say that a Malach came along and stopped him from saying shir. It said it slapped him on the face. It slapped him. Things were going great for Nebuchadnezzar. It's very easy when things are going great for people to say, you know, we're looking over the Grand Canyon. It's very easy to say, wow, look at you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Marabum, Masecha Hashem. That's two Rabbi Naiman. Right? It's great. But what happens when we're inside the hospital bed and we have like an intravenous going in and it's hard for us to breathe? Can we then say Marabu Masech Hashem? That's what the Malach did to Nebuchadnezzar. When things were going great, he was saying Shir to Hashem. So came the Malach and slapped him and said, let me see the way you say Shir now. And he couldn't. And he was Boyet. He went ahead eventually and he was Mavorach Hashem. He used the curses against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And eventually he himself was the one that was Machriv the Beis HaMikdash. Let's study David HaMelech. Do you know most of Tehillim Rabbi Sai is written not when David HaMelech is sitting by a nice pond or a nice lake and he's playing his harp. We get this picture. I was in Eretz Yisrael, as you know, a few weeks ago. There's a fellow that walks by the Kaisel and he calls himself David. A little Meshuggah. You know, I always say Meshuggah and Meshuggah, and we also have our Shir. Right? And he walks around with a crown and he's wearing a long robe and he plays the harp. You know, it looks very nice. Then he says, you want a falafel? Give me a quarter. Right? It's very nice, very entertaining. So we think that was David HaMelech. Especially Tehillim. How was Tehillim written? Go through some of the kapitlach of Tehillim. David HaMelech is Avshalom. He's running away from Avshalom. He's running away from Shaul HaMelech. He says L'menetzeach L'ben Meis. When his son dies, he says a shir, he says a song. David HaMelech represents suffering beyond suffering. But you know what? He took the badim. He understood that I'm traveling through life. It's difficult. I wear my tefillin shayad. I wear my tefillin shayroish. I remember there are good times. I remember that there are difficult times. And when there are difficult times, I don't let it destroy me. I don't say life is terrible. I say I'm going to make the best of life today, for there is a tomorrow. Rabbi, as Reb Tzadik over here says, Misha Torach Be'erev Shabbos, somebody who prepares for this state of Misha Torach Be'erev Shabbos L'Shabbos, someone that prepares in the state of Erev Shabbos, a time of toil, a time of struggle, he's going to be Zeicha to have the Menucha on Shabbos. I just want to conclude, Rabbi Isai, please, we just want to remind us all, we are in the month of Adar. I ask you, please, and I have books. Some boys ask me if I have books. I have raffle tickets. Please, we have very, very little money so far that has been brought in for Ad Yosef Chai. We have two Sundays, and the best day to go out, either make phone calls or ask people for assistance, is on Sunday. So please, we have right now $450. Last year we had about $3,500 at this time. So please do not just sit over here. All those which are sleeping, please wake up now. And then Emetz Hashem over the weekend, please ask or bring in your own Maisa for Ad Yosef Chai on Guten Shabbos.